This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tatis.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm saying that is Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Jesus, as they call him.
Jimmy Jesus.
They're going to strip that Jesus part away from him, though, after this season.
And Chris Ello.
Kyle Shanahan is going to be the biggest disappointment in this division.
He's an offensive genius. See, I stopped Chris in his tracks.
It's so stupid that I don't even know I'm going to answer it.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Baker Mayfield back in with 3:11 to play. Throws. Intercepted. Intercepted by Butler. 30, 20, 10, 5. Did he get in? Did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Titans!
Why do I have a feeling that after that touchdown pass, Baker Mayfield was not down in the end zone doing one of his stupid celebrations? Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Shortly after 5 o'clock, final hour of Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello along with Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., off getting set for his television assignment tonight. Kyle Shanahan, your guy,
yes.
Scraby.
Huh? Hero. Offensive genius.
256 total yards yesterday. That's
you're going to have to win five.
That is a phenomenal performance by that offense of the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy G threw a pick six, but the 49ers overcame it all.
They did.
And won their first game, but Cleveland did not overcome anything yesterday. Let's recap what happened in the National Football League week number one. I thought a couple of games we haven't talked a whole lot about. But that Cleveland-Tennessee game, this is definitely with some humble pie for Baker Mayfield. The question is, will he take it as such? Will the Cleveland Browns take it as such? And just basically something I like to say, but shut up and play better. I mean, because it's all been about talk with Cleveland. And, yes, they improved last year, but I don't want to say I told you so because that's such a cliche. But I said, and I've seen it many, many times, a team goes from 0 wins to 7. And all of a sudden, now the next year, everybody has them in the Super Bowl. It's a lot easier to get from 0 to 7 than it is to improve on 7. And the reason is because when you have a 0-win team, everybody you play overlooks you. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened all last season with the Cleveland Browns and a rookie quarterback and all the rest of it. But this year, nobody's going to overlook the Cleveland Browns. Everyone's going to bring their best effort and be ready to play. And that was proven yesterday. And I think, you know, Cleveland, the worst thing that could have ever happened to them was that they took the opening kick and went right down the field for a touchdown. And I think Baker Mayfield and everyone else thought, oh, man, the Browns are just going to so dominant.
We got this.
They forgot to play the last 58 minutes of the game, and they got outscored 43-6. I mean, it wasn't even close.
No.
And that's not against a good team either. Tennessee's, nobody's picking them to win anything.
No. I want to hear from Baker Mayfield after the game and see kind of – I want to hear his what he felt like after.
Was there any humble pie
exactly,
from Baker Mayfield?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Positive plays and, you know, like – no, it's extremely difficult. You know, anytime you get something going, you shoot yourself in the foot. That was our big problem today, not being able to build on positive plays. And, you know, like I preached last week, was we trying to eliminate the negative ones, and that's exactly the opposite of what we did today, and that falls back on me.
All right,
he sounded like he cared much.
No, he cares. I think it was an all right answer. I mean, it's about as good as you can do when you throw three picks and a pick six. I mean, Cleveland put up, 550 yards in the game.
A lot of that was
so,
garbage
but a lot
time.
Of it was garbage stuff, and Tennessee was playing a soft zone. The Cleveland defense played terrible. They let Derrick Henry catch a swing pass and go 75 yards down the field without touching him. They let Delanie Walker catch two straight touchdown passes. I think that's more than he caught all of last year.
He did.
So, and then Mayfield threw the pick six to end the game. But look, to me, and the other thing that's unbelievable is that Cleveland, did you see this? I can't even believe this. The Cleveland Browns in that game yesterday committed 18 penalties for 182 yards.
That is a rookie head coach right there.
18 penalties for 182 yards?
And there were a lot of dumb penalties. There was a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct. There was a lot of penalties that just didn't need to happen.
That is one of the all-time worst performances on penalties I have ever heard of. Their starting left tackle, Greg Robinson, was ejected for kicking a player.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just a pathetic performance all the way around. They gave up a safety. So we'll see what Cleveland's got. Jarvis Landry was part of that Cleveland team. He wasn't all that happy about the way things turned out either.
Let's say some of this was because you guys
I don't care about what nobody says. So don't ask me that question.
Could lack of playing time in the preseason have something to do with it?
I don't ask you no question like that.
Okay.
Okay. That's the
Thanks,
wrong
Jarvis.
Way to do that.
Hey, Jarvis, I still have your jersey hanging in my closet.
Man, the guy asked him a pretty good question. Do you think the preseason, not playing in the preseason, is something that contributed to today? And he, don't ask me no question. Why not?
Well,
you guys look terrible. Why can't you ask that question?
It's lost by 30 points. I mean, I got to expect that the guy's going to be a little salty.
But not like
he probably could handle it with a little more class, I
and
would
he cut
admit.
The guy off in the first time, and he was like, don't ask that question.
Yeah, well.
You know what's
insane? What questions is he going to ask?
What's the thing that's is funny. The game was a two-point game. 2 points with 7 minutes to go, and it ended up being a 30-point blowout at the end.
Yeah, they gave up four touchdowns in like the last, 15 minutes of the game. Look, Jarvis Landry. To me, it's okay to answer questions that way if the day you score three or four touchdowns and you help your team win, you're okay with somebody asking you questions.
Yeah, you can't just
and you're
turn
gonna,
away.
No, when they ask you questions on the day that you score three touchdowns and you say, well, don't ask me anything.
Oh, you just want them to stay consistent.
Yeah, be consistent because I guarantee you Jarvis Landry would be more than happy to answer all those questions and tell everybody how great he was when he gets his two or three touchdown game. But that's the problem I have with those kinds of answers if you're Jarvis Landry. You set yourself up for a problem in the future. Speaking of the future, it looks a whole lot brighter in Arizona today after the Cardinals got they got embarrassed for three quarters by the Detroit Lions. They're now 24-6. I thought the whole Cliff Kingsbury Kyler Murray thing was going to go right down the porcelain fixture, but Arizona came charging back, caught him at 24, ended up in a tie game, 27-27. I thought Kyler Murray played pretty well once he seemed to figure out the NFL game. Here's what he had to say after it.
I don't think it was that much different, to be honest. Felt comfortable the whole time. Detroit did a good job, shutting us down for the most part, the first half. But it's the NFL. It's not going to be easy. So,
pretty stock answer.
I'll tell you one thing. Cliff Kingsbury, not shy about putting the game in the hands of his rookie quarterback, had Kyler Murray throw 54 times yesterday in that ball game. So, I mean, it was an overtime game, so there's a few more plays.
A full quarter of overtime.
But nevertheless, that's a lot of pass attempts for a rookie quarterback. I thought Murray did all right. I mean, to be beaten down the way they were in 24-6, fourth quarter, and then come back, lead a field goal drive, and then lead two touchdown drives, and then a two-point conversion, and then let another field goal drive in overtime. He finished really, really strong, and he might say that he wasn't confused at the beginning, but I just think it took him a while to get used to the speed of the game. But it's not like it took him till week four. I mean, he did it in the fourth quarter. Now, on the other side,
I was just about to say, Matt Patricia.
I mean, you're supposed to be a defensive guy, and you got an 18-point lead against a rookie quarterback in the fourth quarter and you can't hold on to it.
That may be the worst thing for him, because now he was already on the hot seat coming into the year. Can you imagine the media today in Detroit roasting him, because he was not nice to them last year? The media doesn't like him anyway.
They should.
They
like
probably
him.
Were licking their chops waiting to come into the press conference tomorrow or whenever it is today.
What was he criticizing them for last year? Their grammar?
Stood up straight.
Oh, the way they were, their posture. That's what it was. He was upset with their posture. All right. Kyler Murray, not a bad debut at all for the Cardinals in that tie. 27-27 against the Detroit Lions. All right. We'll take a quick break, come back. We'll talk a little more NFL. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have our top five overreactions to week one of the National Football League. That will be our countdown segment today. Also still ahead, Mr. Mick McGrane. Talk a little bit about that great San Diego State victory over UCLA. Don't go anywhere. We're at Petco Park. Padres and Cubs tonight coming up. Pre-game show at 6 o'clock. First pitch, 7:10. Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Here's...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Traffic. Hey, it's Gwynn and Chris. Chris Sello. Matt Scraby sitting in, doing a pretty good Tony Gwynn Jr. impression over there.
I was going to try, but I'm not even going to try.
No, don't. Yeah, there you go.
Pickles. Thank you. Oh, there he is.
5:18 the time. Tony G. Jr. is getting set for his television duties this evening. I'm getting set for Padre pregame on radio, which follows this show shortly after 6 o'clock. And then, of course, Padres and Cubs. Some news from the Cubs this afternoon that we certainly should pass along. It is not good news for the Chicago Cubs. They have been without Javi Baez for a while, and it looks like they're going to be without him for a while longer.
A while, while.
Huh? Rest of the season, or regular season anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, it says that the Baez will continue to rehab and in hopes of returning in October if the Cubs reach the postseason.
And I think that's a big if without him. I mean, he's the furnace of that team, and maybe probably a little better in all sincerity. I mean, the guy was an MVP candidate last year. Javi Baez makes the Cubs go. I think he's kind of the energy behind the engine that makes that team run out on the field. Cubs have not been playing well. They overall this season have been terrible on the road. That has been the problem all season long for the Cubs. As a matter of fact, they're 29-42 coming into the game tonight. So they're 23 games over 500 at home, but they're 13 games under 500 on the road. That's not very good. And, you know, the Padres can really stick it to them this week. I mean, you got Arizona a game and a half back. You got Milwaukee two back. And you got Philadelphia two back. So you have to figure, if you're the Cubs, any game you lose, one of those three teams, if not more than one, is going to make up some ground on you. So they need wins. And the Padres have played pretty well against contending-type teams this year. And so we'll see what happens in this series, but not good news for the Cubs if they're going to be without Javi Baez the rest of the way. I knew he was out. I did not know that he was going to be out until and now for the Cubs, what would hopefully be the playoffs. So we'll see.
A fractured thumb.
And we talked about this earlier with Tony Gwynn Jr., but Joe Maddon was on the hot seat for whatever reason before the season started.
Yeah, for whatever reason is right. The guy brought the first World Series title in like,
you think that would buy years. Him a couple years?
At least three.
I mean, to me, it would buy me a lifetime,
five?
Practically. If Joe, let's put it this way. If Joe Maddon, if the Cubs want to get rid of Joe Maddon at the end of this season, and all the circumstances and the stars aligned and the Padres decided to move on from Andy Green, and they decided, let's bring Joe Maddon in, got to be honest with you. I could think of a whole lot of things that would upset me a lot more than that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're not gonna hate on it.
I wouldn't hate on having Joe Maddon as the manager of the Potter. I'm not trying to fire Andy Green right now. I'm saying if that was what all happened, you know, add up the arithmetic. If the Cubs get rid of Joe Maddon and the Padres get rid of Andy Green, Joe Maddon's been a bench coach for the Angels when they won a World Series. He's taken Tampa Bay to the World Series, for heaven's sake. If you can take Tampa Bay, you can take the Padres. And he's won a World Series with the Cubs, which basically means you can part the ocean.
Would you think that it's more so not of his managing skills, but maybe the way he is inside the building, that they're not getting along, and that's why he might not be in good favor?
I don't know because, I know Tony's not the world's biggest Joe Maddon fan, but I think Joe Maddon is from what I can tell, I don't know him, but from what I can tell, is a really excellent communicator and a player's type of manager. He does some things that I think rub opponents the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Tony's dislike comes from, especially when Rizzo took out,
it was Hedges.
Hedges.
Yeah.
And took him out with a slide, and then Joe Maddon came back and said, oh, that's the way you're supposed to play. And I think that really upset some people around
that's
here.
That's when Tony made his karate kick, his famous karate kick line.
Yeah, that's Rich coming from you, old Joe. That was a great line by Tony, one of Tony's better lines. But I think Joe Maddon would be a great, you know, can be honest with you. If I had to hand pick a manager and you told me for sure that I was going to change managers in San Diego, Joe Maddon would be on my list. Let's just put it that way.
We were talking about Lynn Swann and how he didn't have any experience as an AD. Well, Joe Maddon has plenty of experience, and he has plenty of experience in different places too. So
he's been successful wherever he's gone, and the Cubs are fading badly right now, and the Padres could help them fade even further if they knock them off this week. So we'll see. Key four-game series starting tonight here. Kyle Hendricks is going to pitch for Chicago and Cal Quantrill for the Padres.
Go ahead. I was going to say, can we go back to, like, you know how people are still upset? Every time the Cubs come in town or anytime the Padres play the Cubs, the whole Joe Maddon, Austin Hedges, Anthony Rizzo things comes up. Mm-hmm. When are we going to stop talking about that as a storyline?
Probably when Joe Maddon becomes a manager of the Padres.
Okay. Because now everybody will love it.
Yeah, right. I didn't say he was going to. I just said if that happened, then we would probably stop talking about it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But right now, Joe Maddon is the enemy. He's the enemy, and he doesn't mind playing that role a little bit. What's going on Monday Night Football, Scraby?
Right,
14-0. New Orleans has not been doing much, at least what I've seen in this game.
No, it's 7-3, the Texans lead.
Oh, 7-3.
Although the Texans are just about to score. They're on the 2-yard line.
All right, so 7-3 Texans, kind of a low-scoring first half in that game. Drew Brees has not gotten it rolling yet for the Saints. Later on tonight, Broncos and Raiders. And did you see the feel-good story there?
What, AB?
On the Raider? No, not AB, but because AB left, Keelan Doss got re-signed by the Raiders.
So there is
the guy that
good.
They waived,
yeah,
and he was kind of a Hard Knocks favorite by everybody. Loved this kid.
Yeah.
And then the Raiders waived him because they just didn't have room for him at wide receiver. Well, AB leaves. Excuse me. Keelan Doss gets to come back. So a lot of people were kind of happy about that.
He was a fan favorite.
Oh, you know, he was a total favorite on Hard Knocks. There's no question about
it. He's a local guy.
Yeah.
So
that was nice to see for Keelan Doss, local guy in terms of the Bay Area.
Yeah, the Bay Area.
Yeah. But Raiders and Broncos, Vic Fangio will make his coaching debut today.
Can I just say something about this AB situation that people didn't like on Twitter? I really want the NFL to stop allowing this stuff to happen. To stop allowing a guy who is just going to cry his way off of a team to make millions of dollars elsewhere. I just really want the NFL to kind of take back the power there. And I know that the NFL owners have a ton of power, and I know that they are the guys who are going to take the money first but for the players. But I just don't like that we're allowing some guy to throw such a temper tantrum that he's allowed to go to another team. Why don't the league come together and say, you know what, we're not going to let you go sign with the Patriots and get your way.
All right, well, I get your point to a certain extent, but you're just mad that he went to the Patriots. I mean, if he went to the Cincinnati Bengals, you wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care.
And if he went to the you know, Detroit Lions, you wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care.
And that's right. So that's the thing you're mad about is that he went to the Patriots. Well, whose fault is that? Antonio Brown's or the rest of the owners in the National Football League?
That's what I'm
saying. Who had every right to go out and find and say, hey, what? We're interested. This is a free agent now. And we, you know, the Patriots are only, or I shouldn't say only.
No, the C.
But they're paying him, what, $15 million instead of 30?
Yeah, and then 9 guaranteed.
All right, well, somebody could have jumped in and said, hey, we'll give you 12 guaranteed to bring you to our team.
And I believe, Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong.
So,
but I think
and
they
he might have gone there.
$20 million option for next year with
well,
the Patriots. Is
that
look,
right, it's a free
Thomas?
It's a free agent market. The other teams, see, the Patriots upset everybody because they do things and it works out for them. But the Patriots don't do anything that other organizations aren't allowed to do. It's the same thing with Belichick and the way he coaches. The Patriots were the first team I ever saw that came out of the chute and threw 27 passes to start a game once. And then the next game they came out and they ran the ball 35 plays in a row. And then the next, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
They don't do anything that's against the rule. Well, that's not true.
They did.
They do cheat.
It was Spygate.
They do cheat. But beyond that.
Cheaters.
Okay, if you just look the other way at the little cheating that they do. But they run plays that are legal plays for everyone to run. They just do it better than everybody. They just do it better, and they run a better franchise than everybody, and they have better ownership than everybody, and better GMs, and better coaches than everybody, and better players. And that's why you're mad, because AB went there. But every team in the NFL had an equal shot to sign that
guy. I know,
guy.
And I'm also a little mad because I hate to take it to this place, but I'm a recovering alcoholic, and when I went through rehab and everything, I stopped putting people on pedestals because they're no more important than any of us, and that's exactly what's going on with AB. If I were to go into the boss's office and scream and yell and say, release me, and I'm going to release a tape and all this stuff, I would never get a job again. It just makes me mad when these guys think that
they're
Let me
tell you something. If you were the highest rated talk show host in the history of sports talk radio.
I can do whatever I want.
Which is what Antonio Brown kind of is in the receiving world. You could go into your boss, tell him anything you wanted to, and then he could choose to release you. And if he did, like the Raiders chose to release Antonio Brown, you could then sign on with any radio station you wanted, and guess what? You'd have options out the yin-yang.
It just makes me so
This is
mad.
The way the world works,
and
Scraby.
I hate it. I hate it.
Then, well, you're going to have
that
to.
World. Right. Real quick.
Hate that world?
I do hate that world.
That's our world.
Why don't the people that work hard and keep their mouths shut get the – you know, I know that AB is going to put up a ton of numbers and all that stuff, but come on, NFL. Be a little bit better. You're not teaching anybody anything other than – you know, if you could play football, you're going to be okay wherever you play. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do.
And if you're the best lawyer, you get hired at the best firm. And if you're the best doctor, you get hired at the best hospital. And if you're the best, you know, CPA, you'll get hired at the best accounting firm. Scraby, welcome to the planet, for heaven's sakes.
I know this is how the world works. I'm just saying it makes me angry. Coach had Brian Balding of of Radio.com. He's an insider for the NFL on his show. I want to hear what he had to say about AB. And if Brian Baldinger is okay with it, then I might have to be okay with it too.
Well, I mean, I don't know that he wanted out of Oakland, you know, all along. I mean, I think he wanted to go there and really play and play well. And things just, you know, didn't work out from the very beginning. And it was, it was just a three-ring circus all summer. And it was quite embarrassing to see his behavior, just a petulant, you know, child about the whole thing. And I think once he thought he could get out, I think he started listening to everybody. And sometimes, if you bang the rattle long enough, you know, you could get what you want. And I don't know that he can make all the money back that he had guaranteed. He's got to go behave. He's got to be on his best behavior. He's got to perform. One thing I know about Tom Brady, he loves Josh Gordon. Regardless of all the demons that Josh Gordon has battled over the years, going back to Baylor, he loves him. And you could tell that he likes him. He trusts him. And he'll give him the opportunity to go make a lot of plays like he did yesterday. We'll find out how much he likes Antonio Brown. Because if he makes a mistake and if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do and those kind of things, Brady won't throw him the ball. And he won't be on the field. And he won't be there very long. A lot of players have come through there. And a lot of them didn't last very long. Randy Moss got there, you know, with a lot of bad reputation and a poor performance in Oakland, and Tom Brady fell in love with him right away, and he had the best year a receiver's ever had with 23 touchdown catches. Antonio Brown has that opportunity, but he better, you know, do as the Patriots do, which is their way, which is the only way there, and we'll find out if he can handle that.
Well, I think that's pretty well said by Brian Baldinger, and I don't know whether that appeases you any more or less.
It does.
But it's pretty factual.
And he
is also correct. If Antonio Brown doesn't toe the line the Patriot way, he won't be there long. And then maybe you'll get your wish and he'll be on the Detroit Lions. Somebody will always take
Antonio
Brown.
I want him to be a Dolphin. Him and Fitzmagic together, can you
imagine? Oh, my God, we'd go right to the top. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here. When we come back, our countdown's coming up. NFL Week 1 is in the books. And NFL Week 1 means you overreact to everything. We'll tell you what we overreacted to the most when we come back. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, it is the Gwynn and Chris Show. It is Petco Park. Padres Cubs coming your way at 7:10 tonight on your home for the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back on Gwynn and Chris, Petco Park. Padres and Chicago Cubs. Get ready for a few Cub fans in the stands tonight, by the way.
I've already seen a bajillion.
Yeah.
They're all in the outfield right now.
Yeah, they're all bright blue T-shirts and sweatshirts and jerseys all over the place right now. Cubs are taking some batting practice. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting ready for his TV duties tonight. Matt Scraby sitting alongside. And time for us to get to something we call the countdown.
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so it was week one of the National Football League. And what happens in week one of the National Football League? Scrammy?
Everybody freaks out
and overreacts to everything. Basically, the Super Bowl has already been determined. It'll be the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Yep.
And we know that Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott are going to win the MVP.
Yep.
And Hollywood Jones will be the Rookie of the Year. And whatever happened yesterday is must going to happen the next 16 weeks in a row.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of what everybody always thinks. So our top five overreactions to week one of the NFL. That is today's countdown. Scraby,
number five.
Do I take the honors?
I will go ahead. Yes, you take honors because I just feel like letting you have honors.
Okay. My number five is what you exactly talked about. Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the NFL.
Lamar Jackson, huh?
That is an overreaction.
That is a little of an overreaction. He had five touchdowns yesterday.
He did, but he's going to struggle a lot this year. And he played the Dolphins, and I'm not trying to throw the Dolphins.
They deserve it.
In this particular case, I'm not trying to pile on the Dolphins, but I think it's an overreaction to think that Lamar Jackson is going to be that guy all year long.
What did you think of the Baltimore Ravens calling a fake punt with a 42-3 lead in that game?
I thought it was an interesting decision.
I had no problem with it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the National Football League.
Exactly.
You do not worry about those things, number one. Number two. Calling a fake punt is a good thing to do early in the season. Do you know why? Because now every team's got to scout against that the rest of the season. Number three, they weren't risking anything. No. So what if it didn't work? Miami would have got the ball. Already 42-3.
John Harbaugh, special teams coach, he knows that stuff.
I like that call. I don't want to. Don't complain. You have a problem with that in the NFL, get better. Number five for me. All right, I'll go in the same category as you. Engrave the MVP trophy with Dak Prescott's name immediately.
Okay.
As if the hype in Dallas isn't ever enough. Dak, 25 for 32, 402 yards, four touchdowns, a perfect rating.
Yeah.
158.3. Even the retired Jason Witten caught a touchdown. So Dak Prescott's already got the MVP locked up after yesterday's performance.
I like how we
that's
call
an overreaction.
The retired Jason Witten, even though he's back.
Yeah, right, the retired Jason Witten. Some guy named Blake Jarwin caught a touchdown. I mean, Dak Prescott.
Who?
Yeah, Dak Prescott was throwing touchdowns to fans in the stands, I think.
My number four week one NFL overreaction is the Steelers are terrible. They lost 33-3 last night to the Patriots in Foxborough. I don't think they're terrible. I think they need a few weeks to get going because Juju needs to find his groove. Ben needs to find his groove. And it's a really difficult place to play in Foxborough on Sunday Night Football to open the season. That's just not a place that any team wants to find themselves in week one.
Okay. I disagree with you. I think the
really?
Steelers are headed for a disaster this year.
Oh, no.
Well, I picked them last.
You did?
They
did.
Looked the part last night. All right, number four for me, the seat is getting toasty for Adam Gase. And
already?
It's time. Oh, yeah, of course. It's New York City.
Okay.
What do you think the guy coaches?
All right.
Crazy Eyes better start looking around for a new job. After he had a 16-0 lead in the fourth quarter and lost it to the Buffalo Bills his home field.
I think Josh Allen had four turnovers in the first half.
It was a pathetic performance by Buffalo. Yeah, the turnovers, pick six, safeties, all kinds of problems, but Le'Veon Bell looked rusty. 3.5 yards per carry.
He looks rusty, but I think he showed that he still is the guy that we think he is.
Yeah, but Adam Gase only got on the ball six times for 32 yards on receptions.
Touchdown, though.
This is a pathetic, pathetic coaching job by Adam Gase, and believe me, they are letting him know about it in New York. And I will tell you that the most interesting game already for week two is next Monday night because it'll be the Adam Gase playing for his job Jets against the Baker Mayfield playing for his mouth Cleveland Browns.
That is an interesting
That will be
night
an interesting matchup,
matchup
next
it
week.
It is.
All right. Number three.
My number three, NFL week one overreactions. Todd Gurley is done. People were saying that he's
oh,
done
yeah.
yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He's done.
He only had like seven touches or anything.
He's gone.
But what I think is happening is that they're kind of saving him for the end of the year. His knees broke down in the second half of the year. They needed him in the Super Bowl, and they didn't use him. But if they're going to have a guy, and I honestly can't even remember his name right now, who scored two touchdowns for him.
Watkins?
Yeah, if he's going to...
Was it Watkins?
No. Who, Thomas, do you know?
Woods? I'll look it up. Go ahead.
But Henderson, that's what it is. If he had two touchdowns and they didn't need Todd Gurley in a close game, then why not just try to keep him fresh for the
It wasn't Henderson. It was Brown.
Oh, Brown.
His name was Brown. What can Brown do for you?
But, yeah, so Todd Gurley is not done. They're
Malcolm
just saving
Brown.
Him for the second half of the year.
All right, we'll see if you're right on that one. But I think Todd Gurley is just not healthy and may not get
What the
healthy.
Heck happened to him? He was unstoppable in the first half of last year.
Well, he's not unstoppable any longer.
How can that change so quickly, though?
Number three, overreaction for me. Hey, all you people in Cleveland, don't put all the beer back in the refrigerator quite yet. You remember how they kept the refrigerator full of beer last year? So the Browns won a game, they would open it up.
It would unlock.
Yes, don't worry about that so much. Yes, the overhyped Browns played terrible yesterday. Yes, they lost 43-13. But this team does have some talent. And they've got some skill, and they got some good players. And this was, as Thomas said, a two-point game late in the third quarter, and then Cleveland just fell apart. Pick sixes and mistakes by Baker Mayfield made the lopsided final score. Cleveland is going to be, I think, a playoff contender. I'm not putting them in the postseason, but I think they'll be a contender. So you Brown fans, you can just go ahead and drink your beers now. Don't lock them away.
All right.
Number two.
My number two was going to be Kyler Murray is good, but I'm ditching that one altogether.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't think people are thinking the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl again. I don't think so. Losing Tyreek Hill is going to be a little bit, you know, it's going to be problematic for him. Patrick Mahomes hurt his ankle yesterday. Who knows how bad that thing's going to be? And I just think the Chiefs have a lot of targets on their back from just being good, just being the guys that everybody wants to be, or the high-flying team that everybody paid attention to last year. Patrick Mahomes has a ton of pressure on him, and he did look good yesterday, but I think during the year.
So basically you're just saying that everything we saw from the Chiefs yesterday, which was going up and down the field against a pretty good Jacksonville team without Tyreek Hill, was a mirage.
I don't think it was a mirage. I just think that it's an overreaction that you pencil them into the AFC Championship.
I think I can do that.
You can?
I can.
Okay.
All right. Number two for me, this is not an overreaction. Mm. This is number one on my not an overreaction.
Oh, okay.
Miami Dolphins.
Number one.
No. Well, this is, never mind, Thomas. This is number two overall.
Yeah.
But number one on my...
On your heart.
On my over, not overreaction. Miami Dolphins, you are now on the clock. I'm pretty sure the Dolphins are going to get the first pick in the draft next year. They can start figuring out who they want right now. We've already gone through all of the reasons why they look like they could be headed for one of the worst seasons in NFL history. And... just to be sure that they lock that down, their next three games are against the Patriots, the Cowboys, and the Chargers.
Oh, that's brutal.
That is 0-4 is what that is.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Okay. Now we can go to number one. Thank you, Tom.
This one's kind of a homer pick for me. Number one, the overreaction of week one in the NFL.
Oh, God. 49ers.
The 49ers defense is really good. That is an overreaction. They played Jameis Winston. He threw two pick sixes yesterday. 49ers didn't really look that good throughout the entire game. They eked it out. And 31-17 score doesn't seem like an eke.
You get two pick sixes.
How many times can I say eke?
They only scored one TD.
Yeah.
Because they got a genius offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan there.
Him and Jimmy G did not seem like they were on the same page yesterday.
They're not that good. Stop thinking that they're that good.
Well, that's why I put him in there.
All right. There you go. Number one overreaction for me is engrave the trophy for the Patriots right now. You got to at least be thinking that already. I mean, they got Antonio Brown. He hasn't even played yet. They absolutely tore apart the Pittsburgh Steelers last night on offense, defense, special teams, passing game, running game, you name it, they did it. They now have Brown, Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon, and just for fun, Julian Edelman. They have James White, Sony Michel, and Rex Burkhead. And it looks to me now like the Patriots actually have a defense. They haven't had a great defense the last few years. They've had a good defense, not a great one. But they completely stuffed Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh last night. So the overreaction there certainly is that the Patriots will win the Super Bowl again, and this season will be a big, long waste of time for the other 31 teams in the NFL. There's our countdown.
All right.
The countdown is now closed.
All right, good. Now we got that NFL stuff out of the way. I want to get to some important stuff. Joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline, one of my all-time favorite guys, former writer at the San Diego Union-Tribune, covers the Aztecs. He was probably almost as happy as I was the other day. Mick McGrain comes on the Chris Show. Hello, Mick. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm still feeling it. I mean, I got to be honest. I told Scraby, there's something that happens when your alma mater comes up with a win like that that just gives you a feeling. You know, you can't necessarily explain it, but it gives you a little lift, a little kick in your step. And 48 hours later, I still feeling it. I love that performance the other day.
A good week to be an Aztecian, so they say, huh? I don't know. I mean, you know, what are you going to say? They go up there and they beat them in their own yard and did it pretty convincingly. You know, I thought early in that game, I kind of looked at it and I thought, you know, I don't know if UCLA is not very good, but I know this much. I think San Diego State is pretty physical, especially on defense. And I thought early on that that they had a pretty good shot of winning that game. I thought you could just kind of tell it, and San Diego State hit him and hit him in the mouth on both sides of the ball, and I thought these guys might put the Bruins in for an awfully long afternoon at this rate.
What do you think was the difference between week one and week two for the offense? Because they couldn't get anything going in the first week against Weber State, but they looked pretty good against UCLA. So it just kind of doesn't really make sense to me that they weren't able to score on a division or a 1AA team, and then they're able to score on a Pac-12 team.
You know, Matt, I think, as with a number of college football teams, you're going to see that in week one. You know, people are... A lot of guys are playing together for the first time, and I don't think that that's probably any more true in a lot of cases along the offensive front. These guys are still trying to find themselves a little bit. You know, obviously people were kicking the dirt a whole lot and hitting themselves upside the head with the way they performed offensively against Weber State. I just think that they came out and They just looked loose to me. Like, you know, they were confident in what they were going to be able to do. I think Ryan Agnew definitely got off the mat and showed what he could do. And I think these guys are a lot more comfortable after an opening week. And that being said, I don't think Weber State's all that bad, quite honestly. I mean, you know, you look at what they did in the FCS last year. They gave people a lot of problems. So, you know, I think there was just a matter of kind of finding themselves a little bit, finding some rhythm, and getting this offensive line on the same page.
Mick McGrane is with us on the SDCCU fan hotline, celebrating with us the Aztecs' great win over UCLA on Saturday at the Rose Bowl. 23-14 was the final. Mick, one thing I really noticed all day long is that the Aztecs went to that play-action pass and got the UCLA linebackers to come to the line of scrimmage, and then Agnew was able to throw in behind that. And really had a lot of open receivers kind of over the middle, medium range. And I thought the play-action pass just kept on working and working. UCLA never really changed up a whole lot. Now, they did stop the Aztec running game, but Jeff Horton just took advantage of it by throwing over top of it. Do you think other teams will play the Aztecs the same way, or did they catch a little bit of a – Catch a day that they just kind of caught UCLA in a defense that wasn't working for them?
You know, Chris, the way I kind of look at it, and I talked to a couple people about this after the Weber State game, you know, I thought maybe that was the best thing that they could have done, was trying to attack it that way, you know, to get medium, short routes and hit these routes early. And you know, I know Jeff likes to get big plays, chunk plays, but I think, you know, take a little heat off these guys. You know, let's see what he can do on these medium routes and get him comfortable. And obviously he was, given his completion percentage. But, you know, if they try to take it away, all the better. I mean, certainly they're not without a running back core. You know, as long as their offensive line can find its feet a little bit in terms of starting to run the ball, which I think they will do, you know, and then you come and you hit them with a Juwan Washington or, you know, Chase Jasmine or Chance Bell or, you know, an army of other people. But, you know, I think for this game at least, I think you saw what they could do with the pass. I think Kobe Smith, I thought, was outstanding. That kid had a big day. And I think he's only going to get better now. I'd kind of like to see him identify, you know, a few more receivers. But I also think that, yeah, if you're going to try and shut down that passing game, regardless of what it is, whether it's medium, deep routes, whatever, you know, I think they just come back at you and hit you with a run, because you know as well as I do, ain't nobody likes that better than Rocky.
He does.
What do you think about Juwan Washington's injury to his ankle? Because we were talking to Ted Leitner a little bit earlier, and he said that he suspects that it may be a little bit more troubling for Juwan Washington than we may all think. What do you think? Do you see anything there?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's 100%. You know, I saw that early on, and when they brought him into the game after Chase had gotten the early load at running back, I thought, you know, these other guys just, they seem to be quicker. Jordan Bird particularly, I thought, you know, you look at those guys, Chance Bell, I mean, the guys just seem to be hitting the hole a little quicker than Juwan. I don't know that he's 100% yet, but, you know, I also think that given time that those kind of things are going to come around. But, yeah, I think he's still nicked up a little bit. And, you know, maybe this week I'm not going to take anything away from New Mexico State given the fight they put up at Alabama. But
they got 10 points.
I think that you just run everybody else and let him heal a little bit.
Give him a little time off. Mick McGrane is with us. Mick, we got to talk about this Aztec defense. That's Rocky Long's calling card. And I've been around him long enough. I know you've been around him long enough. And I can sense sometimes, and I wasn't on the sidelines, which I've been many times in the past with him, but just watching the game, I could just sense that he kind of felt like he had control of matters over there in that game on Saturday. I mean, UCLA got the quick touchdown. Rocky said, hey, we're gonna take a little time to adjust to their speed. But once they did that, they just swallowed up pretty much everything UCLA wanted to do. Tozino, I'm not ready to give him Kirk Morrison's pedestal quite yet, but my God. Goodness, this guy is a great linebacker. I don't know how high he can go in the national consciousness, but is this defense have a chance to be as good as some of their other defenses?
You know, I was looking at that earlier today, and I was thinking to myself, this defense in a sense kind of reminds me of 2016, because I think in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, I think they had five senior starters, which they do on this defense. And, they ended up finished the season with a scoring differential of like plus 15. They only ended up giving up, I think, an average of like 20 points a game. I really look at this defense, especially given that, you know, they're so young across the front. They only got one senior in Miles Cheatham. But if those guys, you know, can engage people up front, give their linebackers a chance, you know, because you're looking at Troy Cassidy and, you know, Tozino's just off the charts. I mean, this guy is a big-time player. But you look at Troy Cassidy and Kiava at the linebacker spots, and their secondary, I think, is really good. And I see a lot of similarities there. I think, you know, God, you look at some of the numbers right there. I think I saw a number today where, you know, opponents have had like 25 drives so far. And, you know, the Aztecs have forced a three and out 11 times, which is something like 44%. So, you know, these guys are doing something right. I think this is a real good defense. I think it's better than people think. You know, they don't have a DeMonte KZ back there the way they did in 2016. But, you know, you look at some of these other DBs that they have, these guys are tough. And, I mean, you know, look at Dwayne Johnson Jr. I mean, this is a kid nobody's really talking about. You got Tariq Thompson back there. This is a group that I think can be special before it's all said and done.
I hope you're right, Mick. I hope we're talking to you sitting at about, I'll just go for 11-0 heading into that BYU finale.
Sorry.
I don't want to get Aztec fans' hopes up too much, but, you know, why not? If you're undefeated, you might as well think all the way for a while.
And if there's one person who's not excited about that BYU game, Chris, it's probably you.
I would be if we were 11-0. Hey, Mick,
because
thanks
I know
so much
you
for the...
harbor no ill will towards BYU.
No ill will at all. God, I would love to mash them. All right. Thanks, Mick. Always great having you on. Good talking to you. We'll catch up soon.
Chris, Matt, thank you, gents.
Thank you.
All right, there he is. Mick McGrain on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR, and low rates mean low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. We need to pause very quickly for station identification. You are listening to Gwynn and Chris on the Padres Radio Network.
KWFNFM and KWFN HD1 San Diego Radio.com Sports Station.
Hi, I'm catcher Austin Hedges of the San Diego Padres.
The Padres play here.
2-0 Padres. RBI double. Austin Hedges, a 6-game hitting streak.
And you're listening to the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
And it's Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris wrapping things up from Petco Park here. Aztecs with that great win on Saturday. And then you were... telling me
I
what
just remembered
you
this.
Ran into Tizino. I hope you didn't run into him too hard, because if not, you'd be on the disabled list,
no,
my friend.
I was in a grocery store
that
yesterday.
Guy can hit.
Yeah, he'll definitely. The guy is huge. I stood next to him at the press conference last week, and I was like, okay, good thing I never played college football against this guy or
he's
any guy.
He's also fast.
He is fast, but I was at the grocery store yesterday. I can't believe I forgot about this. I ran into him and a few other guys from the Aztecs team.
Did
I didn't
you
say anything.
Congratulate the guys?
No, I stood there. And,
why not?
Because I was in this. We're in the meat department, if you needed to know.
All
and
right.
I was thinking about, should I go up to him and say, like, congrats on the win? And I didn't do it. I didn't do it because I was too nervous.
Disappointed.
I was too nervous to go up to him and say that.
Disappointed in
Scraby!
He would have
been great, and I'm sure he would have loved it and all that, but it's just one of those things where you're like, gosh, should I go say that?
I'm going to tell the guy Kyle at the Costco that he shouldn't have had me say hi to you.
Why?
Because you're not nice enough to even say hi to the Aztecs after they beat
UCLA
like that.
I was just nervous.
Nervous in the presence of greatness.
I got a little starstruck.
A little starstruck.
I almost...
I'll tell you.
Is it weird that my first thought was to Insta-story it instead of go up and talk
to him? All I know is that Tizino is just in on every single play that's made, and it was this way it was last year, and it's going to be that same way this year. He is, if you haven't seen him yet, you will, because you watch an Aztec game, there's no way you can miss him, because
exactly.
He's, like I said, he's on every play. And he's a 4-star recruit. You know, he's the only 4-star recruit the Aztecs have on the roster. The only one. And somebody brought
that earlier.
Up. I think Nick Canepa pointed it out the other day, but why more 4-star recruits don't do what Tizino did? Go to San Diego State, where you can play some big-time games, and you can be a superstar rather than going and sitting on the bench somewhere behind a couple of 5-star kids.
I agree.
All right, good show today, Scraby. Well done.
You too.
Our first Monday following the start of the NFL season. Padres-Cubs is coming up next. Thanks to Scraby. Thanks to Odd Thomas, who's going to call Bill Belichick for me and ask him to take it a little easy on my Dolphins this weekend. Oh, my goodness. And thanks to Tony Gwynn Jr., as always. It's Gwynn and Chris. We're back tomorrow at 3. Padres pregame show next on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.